Hello, I'm Daniel Schweiger, the soundtrack editor of ifmagazine.com and filmmusicmag.com. And with me is John Murphy, the composer of 28 Days Later and this soundtrack for 28 Weeks Later. Put them together and you have two of the most acclaimed horror scores to come out this decade, as well as one of the most well-regarded sequels to follow a genre classic. John, when you first started composing on 28 Days Later, did you intend on your approach to be completely different from what we'd get from a typical zombie score?
I don't think any film composer wants to do anything typical. You always want to try new things and you want to mess with the genre a bit. Especially when you get a film like 28 Days, you know, your first instinct is to... You ask yourself, how can I reimagine this, or how can I reinvent this? And so you're not really thinking about what's gone before. You're always thinking about what you can do that's going to be different. And to be honest, we never really thought of it as a kind of straight up typical zombie film, you know? To me, it always felt more like a kind of scary road movie or something. In fact, Danny's original idea was to have no music at all in the film. We just have these little bits of detritus and radio broadcasts and kind of audio waste kind of drifting in and out of the film. And, you know, I spent a week kind of recording things off the radio and distorting them and chopping them up and playing them backwards, you know, all the kind of usual stuff I do, still do. But it kind of made the film feel twice as long, and, you know, it would have let down some of the bigger scenes later on, so we kind of sacked that idea early on, to be honest. But yeah, we definitely went for it. We thought, it is what it is, so let's just see what we can get away with. When the places where we couldn't really avoid the kind of genre clichés, we just disguised them. So instead of having screeching strings, we'd have screaming guitar feedback, or instead of having a big crunching drone, we'd have nothing. You know, instead of having the usual big slash action sequence at the end, we ended up going with a kind of slow, menacing guitar groove thing, which actually ended up being the main theme, funnily enough. So yeah, we tried a lot of different things, you know, and some things worked and some didn't, but I think we got to where we wanted by experimenting. And in the end, it kind of worked itself out.
From its title, this is a film that takes place 28 weeks later, after the outbreak of the Rage virus, and all of the victims have died of starvation, and London is essentially a ghost town. How do you think the music plays that kind of haunted quality?
I think we tried to play it in a few different ways. One way was to find a tone or a texture that would have that kind of grainy or even out-of-focus quality to it, you know? So we'd record a lot of real stuff, you know, organic stuff like guitars and strings, and then Tyler, my engineer, would compress it and distort it until it had that distressed quality to it. And we also used Mellotron a lot instead of real strings. In fact, when we actually did record a real string section, which we did in Prague, it felt so big and clean and Hollywood, you know, that we ended up squeezing it through these tiny little radio speakers till we got that eerie quality, you know. And we did a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, recording things clean and then basically just distorted the shit out of it, you know.
How did you want your music to foreshadow that the Rage virus was going to return?
You've really got to be careful with any kind of foreshadowing or pre-echo with a film like this. You want the audience guessing, but you don't want to telegraph it. Okay, they're watching a film called 28 Weeks Later, so they're probably expecting certain things, you know. They know it's coming back, but they don't know how yet, so you've got to be subtle. But we still wanted to have some kind of uneasy tone when the kids arrive off the plane, which is the first time we see them. And because I felt we needed some ambiguity here, instead of playing it off the kids, I played it from Scarlett's perspective as she looks at them from the control tower. So the audience isn't sure, you know, is the music there because Scarlett has a bad feeling about letting kids back into the country? Or is the music there because these kids could be the reason why the virus comes back, which of course they were. So for most of the film, right up to where Don kisses his wife and he becomes infected, all we really did was create a kind of uneasy tension. And that helped keep the audience interested, I think. Don't breathe just yet. It still might come back.
A lot of horror scores will play every single bit of violence that's happening during an action scene. Yet what you've done in 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later is to essentially play through these sequences almost like a rock song would.
To be honest with you, that whole stabby kind of heavily synced style of scoring that you hear in some horror films, it's just not something I'm a big fan of, you know. Some guys do it really well. I don't think I do, you know. For me, if the performance is there and the editing's there and the effects are there, why waste an opportunity to bring something else to the mix? You know, set up some dark groove or crescendo or some new arc that can pull the whole thing together and maybe even give the scene another rhythm. And if that means doing something that's kind of rhythmical in a song structure way, then it's worth trying. Because when it does work, it can be very cinematic, I think.
Would you say that 28 Weeks Later is both a more tragic and action-oriented score than 28 Days Later?
Yeah, I would say so. There was obviously tragedy in 28 Days, but it was a bit more personal, you know? You know, the way in which Frank died and how the good soldier died, the officer, I forget his name. And we pretty much avoided any kind of action scoring at all in Days. Because it wasn't really about that, you know. The score was more personal and character-driven, I think. But with Weeks, even though the story focused on the kids, the camera kind of zoomed out to show us the scale of what this thing had done and the aftermath. So the score had to zoom out with it sometimes.
How do you think your musical approach for 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later reflects what's happening in the world of rock and alternative and trance music?
I think with this genre, generally, you definitely get a lot more latitude to experiment with more contemporary sounds and ideas. So what you do is always going to be influenced by what you've been listening to that week or that year or whatever. You know, and in my case, it's usually a lot of different things. But I don't think I ever consciously sit down and say, okay, now I'm going to write a post-punk score or anything like that. I never really know what I'm doing until I'm kind of halfway through it, usually. You know, I just kind of feel it out as I'm going along. If it feels right to do a 7-minute kind of indie guitar track, then I'll just do it. You know, I don't think where the influence came from or what it reflects or anything. If it makes the scene better and I think it's cool, I don't really think too much beyond that, to be honest. Which is probably why a lot of my stuff is a kind of schizophrenic mishmash, you know. I tend to just kind of follow my first instincts and dive in and hope for the best.
Now, this marks the first time that the score for 28 Weeks Later is available on CD, and you've added a couple of extra tracks for the occasion.
Yeah, there are actually 5 new tracks on the CD, which have never been released before. For example, Scooter Through London, which is the scene where the kids find the scooter and they're zooming through the empty streets, trying to get back to their old house. And then there's Alice Is Alive, which is the scene where the kids are at the house and they find the mother. And then there's The Depot, which is the scene where Andy's been separated from Tammy and Scarlett, and he's kind of wandering around in the dark in this warehouse trying to find them. And then there's London Underground, which is the kind of spooky scene where Scarlett's leading the kids through the underground, trying to get them to Wembley Stadium, which is just a lot of scary sounds, really, but it's good in headphones, you know. And then, of course, we've got Helicopter Mayhem, which is the famous helicopter slicing zombie scene. So yeah, we got a few cool new tracks, I think.
What kind of future do you think your music for 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later shows you as to the possibilities of how to score horror films?
Just that there are other ways to do it, you know. Same with scoring any genre film. There's always another way. But a composer's only as brave as the director or the studio will let him be. And if they see that there are other ways to score these films, then maybe more composers will get a chance to give them something different. No film composer wants to do something that's been done 1,000 times before. We all want to do something new. We all want to do something original. We all want to reinvent something somehow, you know? And if the 28 scores have contributed to that cause, even in a small way, then that's something that, you know, I'd be really proud of.
Do you hope that the series may turn into months or years?
I hope so. I think it'd be good to do one more, you know, just to see how it all ends and see if we survive or not. And it'd be good to do something totally different with the music, you know, something unexpected. So yeah, if it does happen and it ends up being the last one, then it'd be good to go out with a bang, you know.